Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rightly Divide the Word of Truth, radio show ministry hosted by Stan Wadsworth. The show is an opportunity to study God's Word together through careful inspection and wholesome dialogue. Whether calling in or in listening, we welcome our listeners to prepare their hearts and minds for learning that is for living, according to God's Word. Now let's hear from our host.
Welcome back. Welcome back to another segment of Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, Talk Tech Religion. Before I even begin, because we have a lot of material to cover today, I just want to give a shout out. I did it on Facebook, but I just want to give an audio shout out to our supporters. This podcast is growing. We have over 200 likes, many, many followers. People that contact me via text, chat all the time with their questions. So we just want to thank you wholeheartedly from our heart. We know you could be somewhere else. And we just thank you. We thank you for your desire to want to learn and to share some of your precious thoughts. You guys have really had some great questions, some good viewpoints, and keep it up. I'd like to ask you to come online. During any of these podcasts, if you just want to call in, it's 515-602-9684, and then you'll be online too, and we can talk publicly. Okay, let's get right to it today. Oh, man, we have so much to cover. As you can see, we've titled this American Pride, the Root of All Racism. Just let me kind of clarify things before this. This is not like a prejudice rant. I don't have that type of hatred in my heart, but I can't be pinned with some type of bias just because I want to talk about the truth. So what we're here to do is talk about the truth, which is racism is the subject matter, from a political standpoint, but our objective is to measure that against biblical truth, and that's what we're here to do today. So there's a lot of material. I may not get to all of it because I was hardy in my research and writing on this, but let's jump right into it. As we all know, since the development of this country, equal liberties and justice has never been afforded to non-white Americans. If anyone was to say that that were true, they would be a living example of what we're going to talk about today. Today here, we're going to look at the who, what, and why from a biblical perspective. This year, the year people I hear people on the radio and people making comments, the year 2020 has been rough on us, and they think that, you know, the things that, and most of it is due to the political climate and these bashes between civilians and the police and shooting African American women and men by groves. And that, coupled with this coronavirus and how it was handled by our government, this is what people are saying about the year 2020. The year 2020 is only prophesying, it's fulfilling a prophecy that have already been written. And so there's nothing in particular that's happening that hasn't had before. We've had pandemics before. We've had political corruption before. Anything that's going on now has always been going on. It's just with the onset of social media, videos, cameras, phones, and all of these resources, some of these things are being exposed in a way that they never were before. From the perspective of, how do I put this? From the perspective of some of us whose faith rests in the Word of God, this new round of recent protests of racial injustice that has been politically identified unethical since the 1863 emancipation of the slaves, where Lincoln himself, President Lincoln himself, abolished, so to speak, slavery. For those whose viewpoints rest in the Word of God, this recent round of protests of racial injustice are atrocities, and more importantly, they're matters of the human heart. that we're trying to fix with political mandates. Jeremiah 17:9 and the Word of God, he speaks through the prophet Jeremiah to those people, but it's a resounding clarion call. It's a resounding clarion, I would call it a declaration. I can't think of a better word at the moment. For God's viewpoint of the human heart, and not just Republicans, and not just, you know, Democrats, and not just whites, and not just blacks. The Lord is talking about the human race. And he says in Jeremiah 17:9, many of you know it, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah goes on to say. Well, the Lord goes on to say through Jeremiah. I want to, incorporating other things that the Bible has said, I want to throw pride out there as the chief culprit. Pride is a word that has developed like evolving connotations in the 21st century. The Bible describes it, though, as the perpetrator of all sin against God. I'll give you an example. According to Scripture, Ezekiel 28:12-19, please, I welcome you to look it up. Pride was the very reason Satan was removed from his heavenly dwelling and position with God. Now, I want to throw out, if anyone struggles with understanding this text, feel free to reach out to me through Facebook, and we can even do a mini Bible study on that, because it talks about the king of Tyre and so forth and so on. So some of it's symbolism and some of it's reality, but that's Bible scholar work. I don't consider myself a Bible scholar, but that's, you know, more higher learning. I'd be willing to discuss that with you. Or if anybody has a conflicting opinion on what that means, feel free. This pride, according to the Bible, and we'll explain that later, is the source of this inability for certain individuals to acknowledge and accept the realities of not just the sordid racial history in this country, but the matters of the heart that are our chief, whether it be good or bad, motivators. We all have this condition, like I said earlier, in some shape, form, or fashion. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about ourselves and how we can be driving. I'm using me for an example now. I'm being transparent. And someone will cut in front of you. You've been waiting a while in the long exit on 20 to get on the 285 to go toward the airport. And you've been waiting there for 2 or 3, 4 minutes because there's a lot of trucks and so forth. Anybody from Atlanta knows what I mean. And what people will do is drive down 20 until the last moment and cut in front of the trucks, cars, or whoever it is that they want to cut in front of. Now, when this happens to me, I get in a mini rage. I've blown my horn. Back in the days, I gave them the wrong finger. I've said some choice words. And even now, I get a little angry. I'll admit it at times. But many times, what God will bring to my remembrance is, then you do the same thing. So that's my inability to be able to see the error of my ways, that I'm actually as guilty as anyone else of doing certain things, but you can't see it. Another good example is a few shows ago when the young lady was trying to speak up against racism and the brutality of police, and she was citing facts. They were listening to the news. She was willing to go to the internet and show her parents. They were listening to the same thing that she listened to, but they weren't hearing it. This comes, whether you can make the connection or not, and we'll try to do it to a degree to here today. In this session, I'm going to use politics as subject matter to make my point. We'll take a more careful look at the heart through that lens, since we're in a political upheaval now. Trump supporters, Trumpsters, as many people call them, are staunch right-wing conservative supporters, mostly Republican. And this is not to say that all Republicans are racist. I'm just saying that Trump is a Republican and most of his supporters are Republicans as well. they support things like their emphasis is on capitalism, an economic and political system in which a country's trade and industry are controlled by private owners for profit rather than by the state. Oxford Dictionary definition. I didn't make that up. Economic and political system in which a country's trade and industry are controlled by private owners for profit. Another one of their concerns is immigration control, a method or methods for regulating border laws and immigration. Between 1880 and 1920, which was a time of rapid industrialization and urbanization, America received more than 20 million immigrants. That's a hardcore fact. Beginning in the 1890s, the majority of the arrivals were from Central, Eastern, and Southern Europe. As I was doing my research for this, I saw that they came over here in boatloads as well, but they came on their own. Their time at Ellis Island in the early 1900s was a matter of just going through, no passports or anything recorded. These were people who were coming from Ireland and Italy and Britain and places like that. So immigration is a way of life here in the United States, but nowadays it's a big problem. They're also proponents of Fifth Amendment rights. Certain portions are certainly their focus. I'm going to read you a segment. I'm going to have to move along because I'm running out of time. I'm going to read you a segment from the Fifth Amendment rights that will probably blow your mind. A section says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state and the right of people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, this is what a lot of the Rifle People Association, this is their focus. They have a right to bear arms, which, according to this, it does. But we're reading this out of context. A well-regulated militia? This is why these people raise up. The meaning of this sentence is not quite clear, even though it's a legalese. And there hasn't been a lot of commentary on it, but relatively few Supreme Court decisions to either clarify or overturn this. For more clarity, a militia, according to Oxford, is a military force that is raised from the civil population to supplement a regular army in an emergency. This is something like what happened in – there's so much going on now. Here recently, I want to say not St. Louis, but it was in Kentucky where the young man was walking with the rifle, and he was allowed to walk right past the police. I believe in my mind, because he fit the framework of the people that are okay, that he was allowed to walk past the police bearing a rifle with his hands up. They even gave him some water. So maybe this is a part of the mindset of those who have this type of political leanings. All of these political laws were supposedly created to create a good and fair government and life for people of the United States. However, things weren't as up and up as they seem. While these good faith laws were being continually created and revised, the slave trade was rampant in the United States. The heart of those making the laws could not, while all this is going on simultaneously, could not have been including non-whites who actually cohabitated here in this country. As a matter of fact, if I can go to it right quick, Thomas Paine, a philosopher and he was a philosopher and a writer, went on to write these what's called a common sense pamphlet. You can look it up. He advocated American independence from Britain. He went on to say that white people that were in good standings would be able to vote, and that blacks, whether enslaved or free, would not. This took away our rights to be counted as equally as humans, as citizens here in this country, even though we were brought here and we served the same and did the same work that they did and some that they didn't do. In an effort to introduce a more accurate account of this historical racial justice and its motivator, the heart, that has plagued this country since the 17th through the 19th century to today, till right now, we'll briefly introduce a more accurate historical account, and I'm going to have to move right along. And a biblical perspective to understand, to weigh against, that might actually make some sense. There's a law that's called the Dred Scott decision. It was made in 1857. The key players on that decision were Francis Scott Key. You've heard about him, the Star Spangled Banner guy. He was a lawyer, a politician, an attorney, U.S. attorney for Washington, D.C., advisor to President Andrew Jackson. He was a slave owner. He was filthy rich, and he helped shape the Supreme Court that we know today. And he also, most notably, wrote the Star Spangled Banner. His brother-in-law, Robert Taney, T-A-N-E-Y, was a cabinet member appointed by the coercion. I can't think of a better word, by Francis Scott Key. On the President Jackson, who was Scott Key, Francis Scott Key and Robert Taney were brother-in-laws. Mr. Key went on behalf of Mr. Taney. He became a cabinet member, a political cabinet member, and ultimately the first Chief Justice of the U.S. He was also the author of the Dred Scott Supreme Court opinion. The decision is formally called Dred Scott versus John F. A. Sangford, is a legal case in which the U.S. Supreme Court on March 6, 1857, ruled 7-12 in favor that a slave, Dred Scott in particular, who had resided in a free state, Maryland, and territory where slavery was prohibited, was not entitled to his freedom, that African Americans were not and could never be citizens of the United States. 1857, that's only 100 years before I was born. I was born in 1958. So we're not talking about this long ago, people. To give you a snapshot of the heart of Mr. Key, this Star Spangled Banner that Colin Kaepernick knelt on, not specifically against the Star Spangled Banner itself, but this type of prejudice in the lines that I'm about to read to you, that allow for police brutality to go mitigated and not prosecuted as it should be. This is the heart of how this country was built, and on this Star Spangled Banner that we supposedly sing on the 4th of July. I'm going to read it to you. It's in Old English, but you'll get it. No, I'll try to sing it. No refuge could save the hireling or slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the Star-Spangled Banner in triumph doth wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. That is hypocrisy with a capital, big, monumental, giant, gargantuan. How do you spell hypocrisy? H. This verse is not sung these days, but there it is. This is not a matter of a dark heart. What is? From the very beginning of the political construction, which blacks had nothing to do with, but worked in, of this country, it's clear that blacks were not to be included. Okay? Ending, again, Kaepernick. Protest and a blatant disregard for police brutality that has roots from the beginning of the colonization of this country. That protest, Collins' protest, and the president's response has set the stage for political unrest that is being fueled by this nation's courts as blatant disregard for social justice and equality. This is in stark contrast to the Constitution. Black men and women are being savagely killed by a group of law officers with hearts so dark they cannot see past their warped realities. They're shooting black men and women for offenses that often aren't even serious enough to warrant an arrest. How do you walk up to a black man who just decides to outrun you, and you're forcing to pull him over, and as soon as you walk up on him, without a word said, you shoot him in the head? Ladies and gentlemen, this is nothing new. White America has never, ever really genuinely held themselves accountable for these types of atrocities back in from the beginning of the country on till now. Instead, what they've done, just like the Star Spangled Banner has been rewritten, so has American history, written with a tenor that appeases the hearts of white America, allowing actual and real American history to be rewritten and erased even in their hearts. So what's the problem? Let's go back to Jeremiah 9:17-9. I got 8 minutes. The Lord says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What does that mean? The heart is deceitful. It's self-deceit of this nature blinds our perceptions of good and evil. Desperately wicked. Incurable. When I look this up, the Lord says our hearts are incurable. He's talking about in relation to the standard being the holiness of God. But we're so far removed from that, we're not even good to each other. So if the matters of the heart God has already identified, has he incorporated anything that might balance that out? The solution is love. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 4 through 13 cite as solution, love, patience, kindness, lack of envy, lack of boasting, is not proud, does not dishonor others, is not self-seeking, it's not easily angered. We're talking about love. Is not easily angered. Love doesn't delight in doing evil, but rejoices with truth. Does not delight in doing evil. This is a sidebar. Let me say this. I was doing some research last night, and there's actually a Trump Glock 9. Now, I can't imagine why they would attach the Trump brand to a Glock, but I don't even want to go there with you. I don't want to suppose something that may not be true. But to me, there's nothing lovely about that. There's nothing loving about that. To me, it's a delight in evil. The American nation is long overdue by what many prescribe as reconciliation. You know, there's many to talk about. We need reconciliation, especially certain people in the church. But for me, though, the word reconciliation, and we went over this before in a previous segment, implies that at one point, at least there were cordial relationships between us people to recover. No, I say the heart of white America has never, ever been one with those they brutally enslaved. They don't have sympathy or empathy for that particular segment of history. As a matter of fact, they're trying to eradicate it from their hearts and their minds by certain things like rewriting the Star Spangled Banner, by using the laws, which never go away, they're just amended, by going back and using laws to justify when looked at the reality on video that the perpetrators and killing what I call innocent people, not innocent in breaking a law, but innocent in the fact that their crime did not warrant the punishment. Hearts are dark. How can we have reconciliation when there's no accountability regarding the sordid history of America? Until accountability is acknowledged and remorsefully, listen to me, until accountability, anybody that wants to take up the mantle on this, for those who you're talking to, whether it be political group, whether it be a nonprofit group, whether it be these kind of conversations at your workplace, among your friends, whatever form it may be, to simply hash these things out and to talk about them even to simply acknowledge if the books are being put in front of you, even if the so-called experts are being brought in, historians and of the like, even if types of reports are given, if the heart is not right to receive with the element of love that is necessary to receive truth, then there will be no truth. Your truth will be your reality, your perception. And our perceptions are warped because our hearts are deceitfully wicked. So until there is an accountability, a remorsefulness of heart, an acknowledgement, there's nothing wrong with that. We've all done wrong. The blacks have done blacks wrong. A great many of the blacks that were sent over here were served up to tribal leaders. So the white America is not all guilty of these kinds of infractions against black people. We're guilty of it ourselves. But I can't turn against whites or blacks, whites for the horrendous treatment they've given African Americans since bringing them here, or the tribe leaders that served up their people. I can't hold hate in my heart because I'm a Christian, and Christians are to love. And so even though I don't like, and even though I talk very negatively against some of the conservative views and the conservative politics and the mitigation of black men and women just being brutally shot down, I mean, even more than animals, there's a big right now advocating for homeless dogs and cats. You know, they have all these sad faces on the news and, you know, adopt a pet today. But when people see a white family that has adopted a black child, what's in your heart? Take stock of what's in your heart during that time. And that will tell you, give you some kind of indicator of who you really are. I'll be honest, me myself, considering the racial past of this country, when I see black men with white women, I have to check myself. I have to evaluate that through and have a perception, perceive that through the sieve of Christianity. But my first fleshly perception and emotion is, why? So, and it's only because of the racial history in this country. If the relations were not what they are, God has brilliantly created blacks and whites and all of these various people because of creativity. And we've taken something good and made it bad. I just urge you, my time is up. For any of you that really, really care, white and black, these issues need to be addressed in the political and the religious community in a way that they never have been before. But they have to be addressed through the accountability of heart, a good heart, a loving heart, a heart that wants change, a heart that acknowledges the wrongs of the history. It's okay of this country. It's okay. We can right a wrong. We give grace and mercy to our spouses. We give grace and mercy to our children. We give grace and mercy to anything we want to give grace and mercy to. So let's learn to give grace and mercy. Let grace and mercy have a chance here. And maybe some reconciliation can really change, can really happen in this country. And that's my prayer. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.